my wife said I may have made a mistake on the dates, but hopefully everybody knows this. April the 9th is Passover, Portsmouth at 8:03, and the 11th is the day, first day of unleavened bread, 10:30 and 2:30. And I have to tell you, Mr. Call, our messages were very similar. Very similar. I thought he was always two or three scriptures off of what we're going to read. And, you know, today we do know that a couple families, several families were up north in Columbus at the prom. And I thought it'd be a good topic today to focus on senior citizens. If you look around right now, look around. The majority of our church are senior citizens, aren't they? I see a couple kids over here, a couple over here, and that is about it. I'm one of the younger people here. So today we're going to focus on you. As a senior in the church, how are you doing? Many of you are retired, but still working. Does that count as retirement? I don't think the work ever ends, does it? You can remember my grandparents never really quit doing things. They always had their cows to milk, their chickens to feed, eggs to collect, raccoons to shoot in the chicken coop. Always working on refinishing some sort of antique furniture. Always stayed busy. I'm sure you're the same way. You have your desires and love that you want to do in life to stay busy. As we become older, and I include myself in this, what happens to us? Our physical body begins to break down. We wake up in the middle of the night multiple times to go to the restroom. I didn't used to do that before. When we wake, we slowly get out of bed. We just don't jump up anymore. Our bones hurt and ache. Didn't used to be that way. Do you remember the last time you slept all night without any pain? It's been a while. Are you one of those people that when you talk, you're talking louder and louder? You say, "What did you say?" A whole lot more, noticeably more. You might remember my grandparents. They would sit on the front row here and try to whisper during church. It was not whispering. Everyone could hear what they were saying around them. And you know what? Now my parents are doing the same thing. It's not whispering. And guess who's next? This guy. So you better be careful what you say, because you're not whispering anymore. One of the downfalls of growing older is also the emotional hurt and pain that we go through in our life, right? Throughout life, we may have lost a husband or wife. We've lost friends due to health issues, cancer, heart attacks, car wrecks, accidents. The list goes on and on. My grandma, Relva Brown, said that one of the worst things she ever had to endure through life was the loss of one of her children. Let's turn to Psalm 30, verse 1. And we will read through verse 5. Psalm 31 through 5. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave, You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You've seen a lot in your lifetime, that's for sure. You lived through the 20th century. You've seen wars in your lifetime. Some have went through the Great Depression. We've seen natural disasters, ups and downs in our economy. You've seen many, many presidents in your lifetime. When you think about it, there's a lot of knowledge that you have gained over all those years. Ralph is almost around 90 years old. That's pretty old. Raleigh, I think yesterday, was 94 years old. That's pretty old. We have an older and older congregation, brethren. So why do I mention all this? Why mention your body's becoming weaker? The physical and the mental trials that you've been through. Why mention the experiences that you've had in your lifetime? Well, point one, what you have suffered through in your lifetime will be well worth the reward that you receive. What you suffer in your lifetime is going to be well worth it. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 16. Romans 8, 16, and we'll read through 19. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Couple things to note is no matter our age, my age or your age, to God, you're still children. You're still young to God. We're young to the angels. We're young to Christ. Our mind might feel 15 years younger than our body. The sufferings that we go through, Scripture says, are not comparable to the glory that you shall receive. Let's turn to Matthew 5, verse 10. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. What happens in our lifetime is you're persecuted. Verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What happens longer you're in church? You're probably going to receive more persecution. So if you've been in church 40 or 50 years, you've been persecuted quite a bit for your religion, for your beliefs, for observing the Sabbath, the holy days. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you, and you say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you weren't the first ones to be persecuted for the Sabbath and holy days. We know the prophets were persecuted. Christ himself setting the example. You have a great purpose, says God in Isaiah 43, that he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God knows who you are, that you are part of his family. He has a need for you, and you've lived your life to learn to grow through the trials that you've endured. You've gained wisdom through your life's experiences. Let's turn over to John 16:33. John 16:33, the words of Christ says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We do know we live in a world full of tribulation, but we will have peace. Just as Christ overcame, we are to do the same. Throughout time, Christians have endured terrible times and trials and persecutions. Many have been beheaded, stoned, have been murdered. But we do know what Jesus Christ went through, and his burden was a lot more than ours, and he made it. And we can too. Point number two is, what is your role in the church? Have you ever thought about your role in the church? What is it? We all play a part of the body, don't we? 1 Corinthians 12:12 talks about that. And you've read this many times. 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." What role do you play? We're in unity, one body of the church. Through thinking about this scripture in the last several years, I've learned something from this scripture. That when we're young and we're active, we may volunteer to set up and tear down stages at feast. We may have that strength of youth to serve in that capacity. We might run the sound system or pass out hymnals. We might make coffee downstairs or set up and clean up for potlucks. I see this as the hands and arms of the church doing work like this. And maybe as we get older, we're not able to serve in that capacity. The roles that we do may change over time. We might grow in grace and knowledge and become the legs or the feet of the body. Or maybe the stomach, or maybe the mouthpiece. You just never know what God's got in store for you. But our roles, the point is, our roles change throughout lifetime. We may serve as a different part of the body. And we all know that we can't serve all the same piece of the body. Some of us do have to be hands. Do have to be the ears. And we do have to have feet. Let's turn to John 10, verse 14. John 10, 14 and 15. Again, words of Christ. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Says Christ knows every one of us, every one of his sheep, since before birth. Throughout life, he has watched us and has gotten to know each and every one of us through our lifetime. He knows how we think, and he knows the decisions we're going to make by our actions. He has given us roles in the church throughout our lifetime, and Christ has taken notes of how we perform those roles. What's important in life today? Have you ever thought about that? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's you. You're important in life. You're to be here at church services and endure the race. Point 3, run the race to the end. Run the race to the end. Let's turn to Hebrews 12, verse 1. And we will read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is very important that we follow in the footsteps of Christ. Christ carried all of our sins, and as you can imagine, what a heavy load that would have been. He made it, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now it's your turn to run that marathon. It's your turn to endure and finish the race. Let's turn to Matthew 24:4. Matthew 24, verse 4 through 13. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For the nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up into tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Verse 13, Christ says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. One of the issues that comes up in modern day churches and different groups is they've undergone dramatic changes in recent years. Doctrines have changed regarding the roles of women speaking at the pulpit. There's been a lot of contemporary music styles, the acceptance of homosexuality in the churches, among other topics. These changes make people feel uncomfortable. And it has driven a lot of senior citizens out of those churches. Thankfully, we haven't seen those changes. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by blood of Christ, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with the true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are to encourage one another, to help one another, to communicate with one another, to grow closer, that we do not forsake the assembly of God. We are to remain strong and be solid through our trials, through the church's trials as well, because the church does have trials as well in various locations. Examples of those who have ran the race is in Hebrews 11. Mentions a lot of the Old Testament examples. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 5, it talks about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 7, another example is Noah. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared the ark for saving of his household. Can you imagine how much faith that would have taken to build an ark? And everybody laughing at you because it hadn't even rained. That would take a lot of faith. Of course, verse 8 talks about the faith of Abraham. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. Abraham didn't know where he was going. But God said, it's time to pack up your bags and move your whole family. That would take faith. But he was rewarded. There are more Old Testament examples of people who had faith and endured all sorts of trials. These examples should encourage us to keep running when we feel like quitting. These people are our heroes. We should look up to them. Speaking of that, there's a lot of members here that has passed on from Portsmouth that has ran the race of endurance. Of course, you all know my grandparents, Lee and Christine, and then Stella Vance. And these are just names that come off my mind. Was Wilma and their mother, Nellie Heddleston, Walter and Sylvia Shaw, Jerry and Alice Boyd, of course, Ken and Ellie Rose, Mae Phipps, who was a painter, if you remember, my mom reminded me of that, Mercer Dobbins, had Miss Puckett, member Ken and Lee Christopher, of course, you can't forget Kay and Ray and Jeffrey Bloom, Mr. and Mrs. Mullins, Red Naomi Ruggles, Chester Carrington, Rennie Lewis, Mr. and Mrs. Russell, Betty Jarvis, Miss Hansen, Ted Dewey, Marion Smith, of course, Mid Smith, and Dorothy Cornish, just to name a few. Many of the battles that they fought, we also will have to fight. Our kids will have to fight probably the same battles I fight. Many of us fight the same battles while raising children or struggling with finances. Our children and grandchildren will have to go through many of these same trials. What is your responsibility as a senior citizen? If you're 55 or older, what is your responsibility? I don't know. What is the age of a senior citizen? Do we go with 55 or 75? What is your responsibility? Point number 4. I say your responsibility is to set the right example for the rest of us. The younger crowd. You are to set the right example for the rest of us. Yes, we look up to you for guidance, for answers. For years, if you remember some of these commercials, the Marines used a quote to recruit. They said, "We are looking for a few good men." You remember that commercial? That went on for quite a few years. "We are looking for a few good men." The Marines didn't want just anyone to enlist. They only wanted the cream of the crop. The young men who were strong and tough and smart and reliable and honest and dependable. That's who they wanted on their team. You know, you have been called into the few as well. As a physical being in this mad, destructive, satanic world today, to see if you have what it takes to endure the trials, to grow spiritually, and to live your life to the end by constantly staying focused and completing the marathon race. That is your job, brethren, to complete the marathon race. Let's turn to Matthew 22, verse 1. And we will read 1 through 3. Again, words of Christ, Matthew 22, 1. Says, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and sent out his servants to to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Verse 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Jump down to 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Christ spoke in parables, and most people did not understand the parables until Christ would break it down for them. Now we see Christ using a parable of a wedding feast. Many were called to the feast, but few were actually chosen to partake of it. The same thing happens in our lifetime. God has called many. However, most is not worthy. They did not endure the race. Most has quit the race and left to live a physical life, ignoring their spiritual life. Brethren, you are the few. You are the chosen. You are the one selected to finish the race. He has chosen you to set the example. Why? God has a master plan for each one of us. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. As I said, God has a future for each one of you. He wants you to have hope in your endurance race. Point 5, maintain your faith to the very end. Maintain your faith to the very end. Let's turn back to Hebrews 12:2. That's twice in a row I did that. Hebrews 12:2-3. I'm going to read it a second time. It says, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him who endure such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Let's look at verse 2 real quick. The pronoun are, O-U-R, in verse 2, it's italicized. It's not in the original scripture. So let's reread it, taking out the word are. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Jesus, it says, is the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So we see, if you take out the word are, the meaning changes a bit. Jesus is the author or the captain of faith, and he brings it to perfection or completion. As a physical man, Jesus showed us exactly how to live by faith in God in this world. Christ was the example of how to be faithful. He trusted God at the beginning of his ministry when Satan tempted him, if you remember. He relied on God to teach such a degree that he could claim the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing, John 5:19. Christ trusted the Father in the garden, and he went to the cross entrusting his soul to the Father. Christ's final words, if you remember, was, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," in Luke 23:46. So Jesus Christ, from start to finish, as a physical body, even during being crucified, Jesus showed us and gave us the example of how to walk by faith. Christ had 100% faith in God the Father. We've seen many examples of faith. Now, we just need to follow those examples. Point number 6 is maintain your vision. Maintain your vision. Let's turn to Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. We don't have the ability to predict the future, but we do have the Word of God, Scripture, that tells us what the future has in store for those who run the race of endurance, for those who complete the race. We know that if we complete the race of endurance to the very end, having complete faith, that God the Father and the Son will be there when we awaken to transform us into spirit beings as his sons and daughters. That is worth the race. That is worth enduring. Let's turn to Revelation 3:5. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. When we think of a vision, what is your vision to help you endure? This is part of my vision, this scripture. Revelation 3:5. Generally, we visualize something physically. And this scripture speaks of those who overcomes to be clothed in white garments. Christ says that he will be our advocate and speak up for us before the Father and proclaim us before the Father's angels. What a great friend to be there for us during that time period. Let's turn to one last scripture, Psalm 73. We're going to read Psalm 73. It's not that long. Endure with me. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious at the boastful, when I saw prosperity of the wicked. And these are things that are written a long time ago, but are still true today. What do we see in our society? The wicked prosper. We see a lot of millionaires, billionaires that have obtained their values ungodly. Verse 4, for there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firmed. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? How does God know? And there is great knowledge in the Most High. Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. Verse 16. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed at my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to your glory. Whom I in heaven but you, and there is none upon the earth that desires besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but my God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Are we daily seeking the kingdom of God? Do you have what it takes to overcome sin? Do you have what it takes to endure your trials? Is it all worth it? Are you setting the right example for the rest of us? Matthew 24:14 said, many are called, but few are chosen. Will God find you worthy? What is your role in the spiritual body? Are you maintaining and growing your faith? Is your vision getting blurry? Or do you see clearly the goal, the finish line? Will you complete the race?